You guys have been working on Stratum V2 for a while, so clearly it's important to you. Why is the majority of the network still not using it?
Hash rate up. Hardware sales, advisory, hosting, and site brokerage. Find new and used ASIC deals through the website and the Telegram channel below. Make smarter decisions with Hash rate up.
All right, everyone, welcome back to Hash rate up. Another week, another episode. Before we get into it, I want to quickly share my screen and show you guys when we are recording. We're co-recording at 932377 block height. And then one thing I have been loving to look at is the timechaincalendar.com, if you haven't seen this before, which tells us that currently hash rate is at 1020 and the average block time is at 10 minutes 32. And we're about 54 blocks too slow right now, which is significant, right? If you look at the difficulty over the last couple weeks, then something very historically is happening, right? Or historically very seldom is happening, where we have 1, 2, 3 difficulty adjustments downward. Then this one was slightly up, but I mean, to be honest, it was pretty stagnant. Then we have another one down, another difficulty adjustment down. And then the next one is expected to be minus 5% right now. So that's significant as well. The impact there, and I want to go a bit longer on this, is that if you price the hash price in Bitcoin terms, then we're talking about one bump upwards, another bump upwards, another one. Then it was stagnant, as I said, another bump upwards, and then we're going to get another bump. So we're going to be in the sort of 45,000 sats per terahash per day range. And then, yeah, I mean, this is historically, I mean, in historical context, it's nothing. But if you sort of look a couple months back, then it's actually quite significant. But without further ado, let us jump in the interview. Today, we're going to talk about Stratum V2, and I've been made aware by my lovely guests Pavel and Gabriel that a bunch of interviews have been done on Stratum V2 via and Stratum V1. So if you want to learn about that comparison directly, go out there and learn about that somewhere else. I have Pavel on. He said he's janitor and PM at Stratum V2, and Gabriel as well, lead maintainer. As Stratum V2 is a open source project. Now, first question to you guys. You guys have been working on Stratum V2 for a while, so clearly it's important to you, right? Why is the majority of the network still not using it? I don't know who wants to go first. Pavel, maybe you go first.
I've been working on Stratum V2 for 4 years now, or maybe even a little bit more. Short answer is that miners are busy. Like, they are in a cutthroat business trying to keep machines online, trying to find cheaper energy, trying to optimize and tweak setups, and they just don't have time to learn about these upgrades. Another thing is that maybe we as an open source project and community haven't really found the proper way to talk to them about this, because we approach it from very technical aspect of all of these improvements for a few years while we were developing it. And as we became miners ourselves in a way, got connected to miners, we understood how miners think, what do they want. I can talk about myself. I come from the payment processing BTC-based server, so I came into mining completely new. It took me a couple of years to understand the mind of a miner and what is it really important for them. So I think short answer is, like, education hasn't been maybe the best on our end, and miners are just busy. That's, okay. I think, my take on it.
Gabriel, anything to add there?
No, I completely agree with all the points Pav made. I would just add that on top of what he said, it's always difficult, like, to change something which is at the core of, like, a business like Bitcoin mining. So, like, upgrading the core protocol, which is currently used by anyone, is, like, it takes a lot of time.
Okay, understood.
Especially for big companies to take decisions.
Maybe explain that quickly, because I don't understand that. Why would the core protocol have to be upgraded? Explain that context.
So basically, nowadays, like, 99% of the hash rate of the global Bitcoin network is currently using a protocol which is called just Stratum. We're going to call it Stratum V1 for now, which is basically allowing all the machines spread all over the world to be connected to some central points, which are the pool servers, so that the luck of finding a block is going to be shared among different participants in the pool. And in order to do that, the machines and the pool servers, which are hosted somewhere else, they need to communicate in a proper way. And nowadays, they are using this protocol, as I mentioned, Stratum V1. And so it means that all the machines, they know the Stratum V1 language in a way to be able to communicate with the pool servers. And the pool servers, they do the same. So they have the implementation there, which is based on Stratum V1 protocol. So even though switching to SV2 doesn't require like firmware upgrades on miner's end, maybe we are going to dive deeper into this detail later. It means that on the pool level, the pool servers, they need to be upgraded to use this new protocol, which is SV2, Stratum V2. So okay. That's what I was referring to.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, then we're quickly talking about financial gains, right? Before in incentives and game theory and anything that makes Bitcoin work at its core, right? Before we get there, though, is there anybody that loses power, or anybody that loses financial gain if Stratum V2 were to be widely adopted tomorrow? Like, who loses out on that trade?
So I don't think anybody loses. Like, Stratum V2 is an upgrade of a mining protocol that has been used since 2011. Since 2011, mining industry evolved a lot, and we are still using a protocol which was made from the very, like, 10 years ago, completely unoptimized, completely insecure. So, like, I don't think anybody would lose from adopting a more efficient, a more private, more secure protocol, and consequentially a protocol that brings them more money. I don't think anybody would be losing here. Of course, there is a little bit of technical effort required that Gab already mentioned to get this adopted and pushed through. So the only losers, in my opinion, will be the ones that are still using SV1 as soon as the SV2 gets adopted. Miners that are not upgrading, miners that are not learning on time, not educating themselves, it will take them way more time to upgrade to a new protocol than to ones that we are talking to. And we are talking to a dozen of miners, like pools, firmware developers, manufacturers. Like, for years, we've been talking to them. All of us are collaborating in a way together to better understand ecosystem and what is needed and how to overcome all of these inefficiencies that we have. So only losers will be the ones that will be left behind, because I think it is inevitable that industry that has matured, industry that has reached insane hash rate volumes as well, will inevitably move to SV2, and miners that are not educated and don't know anything about it will be left behind, and it will take them weeks, months, for some even years to become aware of it, and they will probably end up in oblivion, in my way, in my opinion, when things start getting traction.
Okay. All right. So talk to me about the problems that it solves. Like, how, if I were to adopt Stratum V2 as a pool tomorrow, how does it make me more money?
Yeah, that's a good question. Stratum V2, I can talk a little bit of like more generic talking points, and then Gabo can maybe elaborate on any technicalities. Fun fact, Gabo is probably the only person in the world that has a master thesis specifically for Stratum V2. So if anybody here wants to read it, it's available in English, Gabo, right, as well, from what I remember. So Stratum V2 master thesis by Gabriele is online. Stratum V2 is more efficient protocol. It has a binary format, which eliminates unnecessary messages and removes JSON serialization overhead used in Stratum V1. Basically, it is way lighter over the wire. So, like, there is data transfers are way more efficient. I will give you a concrete example. All of this sounds maybe a little bit more technical, but what does that mean for a pool? Where for a pool, that means 60% less bandwidth consumption. And bandwidth consumption, from what I became aware, is like second biggest cost of running a pool. So reducing that cost to a 60% is a pretty good incentive to adopt something. And then in a certain configuration, miners themselves can reduce bandwidth up to 70% just from these basic protocol properties, because it's lighter and better over the wire. So imagine you're a miner in a bandwidth constrained environment running somewhere, you know, remote, and then you save 70% of bandwidth. I think that's a pretty big win. So these are like very obvious technical advantages of Stratum V2. So
I have a follow-up question, right? A lot of, my company evolves around bringing more hash rate to Africa. And I think with sort of AI craze and all of that stuff, we're going to see hash rate, hash price compression. We're going to see a lot of people move to sort of fringe mining, what I like to call, you know, bush mining somewhere remote with a Starlink or whatever, right? So I think we're going to see a lot more like that somewhere in the middle of nowhere in Nigeria on some sort of GSM connection. So I can understand the benefits there. If I had a remote setup, right? Talk to me how I would practically now adopt Stratum V2. Like, what does that actually look like? I have, I don't know, 100 machines running in a container somewhere. Like, how do I actually use the protocol? That is, to me, isn't clear.
Yeah, I can pick this one, or maybe Fab, you want to go ahead.
Go, Gabo. I will fill it in if there is anything missing. Go ahead.
Yeah, earlier in like my previous answer, I mentioned briefly a way for which there's no need for the remote place for the miner to upgrade the firmware of the machines, and that's because we have a component in the SRI ecosystem, which is called translator proxy. So this translator proxy allows all your machine, in this case, which are speaking natively, just Stratum V1, to be able to connect to an SV2 pool server, to an SV2 endpoint. Because what it does, it's just a proxy that you have to run like on a mini PC or like a Raspberry Pi also eventually in the mining site, in the mining farm itself. Mm-hmm. And this proxy is just going to do the translation. So basically the machines, they can also not like upgrade the firmware to be able to speak as SV2. They just need to pass through this translator proxy and they will be able to connect to an SV2 pool, getting in this case all the benefits that Pav was mentioning earlier in terms of bandwidth reduction and security improvements.
Oh, that's clear. That makes sense. Okay. And then I need to connect to a pool that speaks Stratum V2 as well, right? So it's machine, translator, proxy, all the traffic between the machine that proxy gets translated to V2, all the bullshit gets filtered out, and then you send the hash rate to a Stratum V2 server or pool that'll then make use of all that traffic and reward you for any work that you're sending. Okay, now there are benefits along the way as well. That is the extent to which I am clued up about V2, you know, that there's a potential of hijacking the hash rate, which V2 eliminates and stuff like that. Before you answer that or confirm that, maybe tell me what pools can I choose from today? What pools are out there that I can connect to from that translator proxy?
This episode is sponsored by Hashbranch, the easiest way to mine Bitcoin in the US. Sourcing hardware and rack space usually is a mess. Bad deal structures, misaligned incentives, and no visibility after deployment. I have placed tens of thousands of ASICs in partnership with Hashbranch. What I like most is that they cut through the noise. Fair pricing, aligned terms, and access to hosting that actually works. Use code HASHRATEUP100, visit hashbranch.com today to get $100 off of each miner that you order.
Yeah, so just to put things into perspective, Stratum V2 is a protocol. Then you have different implementations of the protocol. We have currently two implementations of Stratum V2. One is by Brains and one is SRI, which is open source, community governed, completely free to use MIT license implementation of Stratum V2 in Rust. We collaborate with Brains. We recently formed a working group. So all of us together are working on having in a way, convention, how protocols should work. So I just wanted to put that into perspective before I move into like the rest of your question. So Brains was actually the first company that implemented Stratum V2 in production. It's been live in their pool for, I think, already 3 to 4 years. They brag with efficiency gains and all these other stuff that Stratum V2 brings. They are just missing the component, which we call the job declarator, which allows miners to construct their own templates. So this is one part that Brains still hasn't implemented into their own implementation. Speaking of our open source implementation, it's available and can be used today. So today we have Brains. We have Demand Pool recently opened up and launched for Stratum V2. Big miners, I would say. So like they're targeting businesses, it seems, first to get hash rate so that then it will make economical sense for smaller miners to jump in. So they're prioritizing, I think, larger miners, publicly traded miners. So they are focused on, you know, various compliance and all of these things that publicly traded miners require. And then, yes, exactly. So they are focused on onboarding, I would say, like larger amount of hash rate, publicly traded hash rate, and then they will focus on smaller miners, hopefully, and open the gates for that. But I guess they are a startup trying to onboard people one step at a time. So they are actually using our implementation, SRI, open source implementation, Demand. And then we also have, we earlier mentioned that miners do not need to update their firmware to use Stratum V2. So in order to connect to Stratum V2 pool, you can use something called Translation Proxy. However, recently a company named Oradin, I'm sure you guys know about them, they launched Stratum V2 compatibility on all of their miners through their Flux OS. So all of their miners are natively supporting Stratum V2. What does that mean? Well, that means that you no longer need this proxy in order to connect to a Stratum V2 pool. And that also helps with end-to-end encryption, meaning that communication from the miner itself to the pool is all the way end-to-end encrypted. So I would also like to encourage any miners to give Oradin a try as well, since they are really pushing hard on innovation. And it has been great collaborating with them. They're also part of our working group, which aims to accelerate Stratum V2 as a public good protocol.
Very cool. Right, I lost my point as to where I was before. Hold on, let me mark this.
We were talking about advantages, I guess. I was talking about efficiencies, and then we got sidetracked a little bit. So we can if you want, we can talk a little bit more. I covered like bandwidth efficiencies, but I think there are a few more bullet points that will be important for miners on why. Because like Stratum V2 is way more... I want to say, like, for a while, we tried to push Stratum V2 as this, like, miners are constructing templates protocol, and a lot of miners don't really care about that. However, Stratum V2 brings in, as I already explained, like, a lot of efficiency improvements. I did mention, like, 60% bandwidth reduction for the pool, 70% for miners in certain configuration. But there is, like a few more bullet points that, for example, Stratum V2 nearly eliminates stale shares. Because the node is running in certain configurations, for example, when a miner is doing template selection, they are running node at their own farm. So it removes a lot of latency there. So Gabo has been doing a lot of benchmarking recently. Maybe he can explain a little bit better how all of this works. But like very simply said, traditionally, up to 2% of shares that the miners submit to the pool are rejected for some reason. Most of the, out of these 2%, only I think 0.2 are actually valid rejections, which means that it was rejected by the pool because difficulty was lower than the pool wanted. And then you're left with this number of shares that are lost simply because of latency. So by running a node closer to the mining farm, these latencies nearly eliminated with Stratum V2. So you are actually getting paid more because you have more shares submitted that are accepted and valid by the pool itself. Then lower latency also means that you can start working on a template quicker. You can start capturing more transaction fees. And I will stop there because Gabo has created a benchmarking tool, which is completely open source, which any miner can run. Maybe he can explain how we measured all of these concretely, and then we can maybe go into security, privacy. There is a lot of talking points, which I really hope we can explain in this podcast, because I don't think we've been doing good enough job at elaborating to miners. And your podcast is like one of the best, if not the best out there. And a lot of miners listen to you. So I care that we clarify all these talking points one by one.
I'll clip what you just said to make sure everybody sees it as a short as well. Cabo, go.
Sure. So Pav mentioned this benchmarking tool, which I worked on during last year. And so you can find it on our GitHub organization. It's open source and can be run by anyone, like very easily. So okay. What it does, it's basically packaging all the components necessary to like run an SV1 pool or an SV2 pool with all like the translation proxy and all the components that we mentioned earlier. So the way it works is that between all of these components, we have some like sniffers and some monitoring tools and some measurement tools, which like measure, for example, the time which takes for a miner to receive a new job from the pool, for example. And so by doing that in the SV1 context, in the SV1 side of the tool itself, and on the SV2, we can do comparisons. So what you are going to see after like some minutes of like connecting miners to this tool is going to be a dashboard, a Grafana dashboard with all these metrics. So for example, you're going to see like the time it takes to receive a job from the pool for the SV1 connection and for the SV2 connection. So you're going to notice that the latency there is going to be reduced when using SV2. And that's just one simple metric.
Can you say
example.
Succinctly why the latency is less?
It's it depends on the configuration. So in the simplest one, where the miner is not constructing any template, the miner is working on jobs which are selected by the pool, as nowadays, the latency improvement there is just due because of the bandwidth and the efficiency gains of the protocol. So earlier we mentioned that the current Stratum V1 protocol, it uses basically JSON for transmitting messages and communicating with the miners from the pool. Stratum V2, it uses a binary encoding. So it means that like the same amount of data which has to be transmitted from the pool to the miner, which is like the mining job in this case, it's going to take less time to be transmitted over the wire. That's because the framing, so the way the network packet is constructed, is going to require less space because of the binary framing, which is making this more efficient. But in the configuration, which is like the most interesting one that we are aiming to like be widely adopted by majority of miners, which is the one where the miner itself is constructing the block templates, its own jobs, and it's not relying anymore on the pool server to do that. In that case, the latency to get the job is nearly zero, because you as a miner, you're running this Bitcoin node in your mining site, in your mining farm. And as soon as like a new block is found, for example, in the network, you're going to be notified by the Bitcoin node itself, which is like there, you know, like together with the machines. So like the machines are going to start working on the next job right after that. Why?
I guess then,
if you rely on the pool,
yeah,
the pool has to notify you.
Sorry to interrupt you. Yeah, okay, that makes perfect sense. Now, if let's say I was running a node very remotely, right? Now I'm still limited by the connection of the node to make sure that I'm working on the most up-to-date jobs. And I guess a 10-minute time frame is a lot longer than what I work with if I don't build it block templates myself. Is that correct?
Sure. So like internet connection status on your site is crucial for deciding like what to do in this case.
Yeah.
If you are like in a very remote place and you know that like a Bitcoin node could be like not well connected because of very, very poor internet connection, it's probably best for you to rely on the pool jobs in this case.
Yeah.
In both cases, I would say that SV2 brings enhancements, because in both cases, you're going to save a ton of bandwidth. So if you are in a remote place and you have poor internet connection, as we are saying now, you would get like benefits in both cases, because like your communications with the external pool server is going to be reduced. The bandwidth used there is going to be way more less than how it's currently.
Okay. Should we talk about the privacy aspects, Pavel?
Yeah. To understand why SV2 bring privacy aspect, we have to understand like that currently all SV1 miners are basically running over unencrypted connections, which is a security risk. So I will very quickly explain security enhancements, because what we did, first thing that was like suggested for a new protocol is to be actually encrypted, because hello, we are in 2026 now, and like using basically running an entire multi-billion dollar industry on top of an encrypted connection is ridiculous. So Stratum V2 uses same cryptographic primitives as used in Signal and WhatsApp, and it encrypts connections, meaning that the hash rate cannot be intercepted. Currently in SV1, it is a very common attack that an attacker sits on top of your network, listens and tries to probe, and when they manage to like intercept the connection, they can reroute. They usually reroute portion of your hash rate, because they don't want to do it entirely, because you will quickly notice. So what they do is like run, you know, take 1, 2, 5, 10%. I got confirmations from many pool that like they will unlikely notice very quickly, even if it was after 20-30%, which is pretty scary that, somebody can steal. This is basically 100% of your profitability, just like steal your hash rate. So by encrypting connection, we are making sure that this doesn't happen. So that's like man in the middle attack prevention. We also protect you from the internet service provider themselves, right? Because unencrypted connections can very easily be scanned, so they can see what is going on. Your ISP is actually a huge attack vector that I don't think anybody is talking about, but like they are even able to calculate how much money you're making based on all of these messages. Like they can reverse engineer a lot of these things. So a very skilled attacker can really harm your business. So just doing a basic encryption ensures that your profitability as a miner is safe. And then in terms of security, Stratum V2 ensures that there is no out-of-band payment, because if you as a miner are constructing templates yourself, then hell no, pool cannot steal your, cannot get paid for transactions that are not included, because, you know, you are aware what is included and you are sure that the hash rate that you provided is actually the ones that is used for certain things. So it prevents pool getting out of band payments for out of band transactions. And that means that like, basically all of these encryption helps, as I said, reduce, for example, ISP eyesdropping your connection, protecting you from somebody trying to learn how much money you have, which for certain type of miners is very important. We have miners running in very, in I would say politically insecure environments, like, where regulations are unclear and their privacy there is probably important. However, most of them are not even aware of this. So like on an education level, we need to do better job to explain that, like, yeah, you may be running in a basement, but like your ISP can actually spy on you, and like if somebody really wanted to find you, they will.
Yeah, but I mean that if by extension also makes the network more likely to be more decentralized, right? If more people feel like they have less eyes on them and can run machines in jurisdictions where it's maybe illegal to do so. Right, it might propel them to do it more, because now they have more security there. That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so with the time that we have left, I wanted to hop on a few more points. A block template creation has come up. That's usually a prompter for people like me to ask you about Datum and Ocean. Right, I understand with Datum you can do that as well, but then you're locked into the Ocean pool. You can't really switch. So a question there for me would be, if I were to create my own block templates with V2, again, you mentioned Brains earlier, which leads me to a follow-up question, but is there any other pool? I know Demand Pool also works on Stratum V2. What other options do I have?
Yeah, currently demand is probably the option to use. Okay. If however you need to be like, you know, miner that is willing to do KYB with them. We are working on our end as an open source implementation to allow miners to deploy pools easily themselves. So in our configurations, like miner can deploy pool over Docker, very basic one. However, if you wanted to, like we are working on that. And the other pool, basically projects, I don't know, like Braid pool or P2P pool, they can all benefit from Stratum V2 because they can utilize the communication protocol of it when the time is right for adopting something like that. I just wanted to get that one clear because I think there is a lot of misconceptions on social media and there is a lot of, well, people try to make like this bad blood between Ocean and us. So I will just quickly explain the differences. So what Ocean did is early on, even before they made that, and we had a group, we communicated together, how can we resolve this? They wanted to adopt Stratum V2. However, they internally came up with a new protocol basically called Datum, which is strictly focused on you know, miner selected templates. They did it in a way that they don't have to do any upgrades to Bitcoin Core. So basically they made a protocol which works for that time, and they were able as a, you know, venture backed startup to gather some hash rate and start using and mining blocks, because at the end of the day the only metric that matters, like how something is adopted, is amount of mined blocks, right? And like currently Ocean, kudos, yeah, to them, they're currently doing good job. However, Datum protocol just focuses on template selection. It doesn't focus on like security. It doesn't, like, it is not as nearly as efficient as Stratum V2. It doesn't bring all of these benefits that we talked about. Yeah. And I talked to Mechanic, like they said, like when Stratum V2 becomes implemented, we will happily as a pool adopt it if our clients want it. So like, I think there is like this unhealthy competition being made, which is probably good. These days, drama makes marketing. So like I think for both projects, it was okay. But I just want to elaborate on the differences. So first and foremost, Stratum V2 is an open source independent protocol. Like there is no single company funding it. There is 6 of us working on it, and it's like 5 entities funding it. So we try to have this distributed funding in a way, ensuring that no single entity has control over our implementation.
Are they public, for the funders?
Absolutely. You can go to stratumprotocol.org and you can see, and I can even tell you who they are, but not sure how much time we have. But yeah, all of this is public. Our calls are public. You can join our dev calls. Like all of this is made in the open. We are developing Stratum V2 as a public good for miners. We believe that open source infrastructure is critical, and 6 of us currently are doing our best to you know, make that work. So Stratum V2 has both client and server implementation. I am not aware that Ocean has open source, for example, pool implementation. I already said that Stratum V2 is more efficient. Ocean still uses get block templates, which are like horrible. Stratum V2 has pushed based templates. So that means the template is sent immediately to you as when the block is found. You're not like trying to pull them. So like there is a lot of efficiency enhancements there. I'm not sure how much. Yeah. So like Datum is great for current protocol. Unfortunately, current protocol is so bad that I really don't see, it's like very unrealistic to expect that like it will remain adopted, because, you know, things are moving on. Miners are in a cutthroat business. It's like race for excellence. Everybody wants more efficiency. Everybody are trying to get more energy, but at the end of the day, with very simple software tweaks, you will be able to squeeze more profitability. Yeah. And once miners realize that, it will be no-brainer.
So BitX, solomining.de, got it. Premium, made in Germany. You want to go fancy? Go for NerdX or NerdQX++ for a lot of power. Worldwide shipping, check out solomining.de today. So one thing that Gabo said earlier, or that we talked about, was with the stale shares, right? And I mean, anybody in a hosted environment, any miner that's struggling with compressed margins, that's not being paid for 2% of the work, that's like an extra pool fee, basically, right? You pay 2% fee on the pool, and then you pay another 2% of work that's not counted towards your balance, even though you expanded energy to create those shares. And they get registered by the pool, but they don't get counted towards your revenue because they, I don't know, for some reason, are not counted, right? And I think, is that maybe, so if we sort of talk about the future of V2, I mean, yes, you guys have funders, they're open source, cool, I understand that. But that's, in my mind, is not a highly sustainable business model or model for the future, right? You can't rely on always having funders. And I understand, look, Bitcoin Core has been open source funded for the longest time now. However, there I have the assurance that even without maintenance, you know, the protocol works and can be used. Yes, it needs maintenance, but it's not a do or die situation. If tomorrow funding dried up and you guys are not paid anymore, I mean, you guys have families and you need to feed yourselves, right? So then you move on to other things. And V2, I would say, is not in a stage where it sort of carries itself, right? So is there maybe a lack of, or is there room for the project to adopt better marketing and say like, yo, these are the benefits of adoption of V2, you know, less stale shares. What does that actually mean to your bottom line as a miner? To get more people on that bandwagon and push it up their priority list, because as you said in the beginning, it's just not where it needs to be, and miners are quote unquote too busy to adopt it. What do you think?
So I guess your question is, how does it project sustain financially? Like, yeah, are there any risk there if all of us got hit by a bus? Like, what does it happen? Well, it's published. First and foremost, it's published on GitHub. Like, if all of us leave the project tomorrow, MIT license, anybody can fork it and keep improving it if their business depends on it. So I don't think like that's a very realistic argument. Second of all, I've been doing open source for 9 years now, full time in Bitcoin. I worked first 2.5 years for absolutely zero. So for me, this is mission, and it will continue to be a mission. And I'm sure for Gabo as well, like for all of us, this is a mission because we deeply care about Bitcoin. I think that mining is deeply underserved area, deeply undervalued, you know, and I think there is a lot of improvements that can be made of having an open source infrastructure for all of these companies to build and innovate on. Because with Stratum V2, we have a set of modular libraries. So basically any company can now come and start building on top of these. They can build innovative products. So they spend more time on building innovation versus chasing compatibility problems. Because what happened with SV1 is like everybody kept ripping off each other, right? There were no specifications. I make this, you try to reverse engineer it, and then we have compatibility issues. So now my engineering team needs to spend like 3 weeks trying to figure out what's wrong instead of like we have clear set of specifications here of how things should work. You know, we have more time to innovate. I really don't think that like, I think the model we currently have is great. I would love if there were more miners there to support us, but I am pretty sure that once they see the value of this and their business start using it, they will be financially incentivized as well to support open source or to become involved, because we had miners, we had mining companies that sent their own employees to help work on Stratum V2. And just one more thing, like we have 47 contributors until this day working on one of the main repos. So I don't think like, you know, passion will dry up, and like, I don't think, you know, people can build their careers through this. People move on. So
it's more about the money. You know, I mean, 40 hash price impacts everybody. And that means there's less money in mining. So what I'm saying is the risk is that open source funding over time dries up.
But like, you know, exactly what you like, it's getting harder and harder to make profit in mining. And like with these small tweaks, miners will like unlock possibilities to make more money.
Yeah.
And then they will be incentivized to either send their people to contribute to the, you know, main project, or they will just like find somebody and give them a grant, because there is a lot a company can gain by providing a grant. I don't think it's like fair to say like, oh, it's like just marketing. Oh, it's just like, you know, we are throwing money. No, like you are financially responsible company if you support open source, because it's in a way R&D for you. You get a lot of benefits from it. You know, you are not actually, you're like directly connected with the infrastructure your business relies on. So I think it's pretty incentivized. I think it's aligned, and I don't think, you know, it will dry up. I think as Bitcoin continues to grow, we can only see more of this and we can see more contributors coming in.
Yeah. Okay. Now I have one more question around primary pools that I wrote down earlier. When you mentioned Brains, you mentioned that Brains doesn't have the job declaration feature yet. And from what I understood, and please correct me if it's entirely wrong, because it's a very complicated topic for me to wrap my head around. For any miner to adopt V2, they need to have an endpoint, being a pool that also adopts V2, correct? So now I'm thinking, okay, like if you see Luxor pool, Brains pool, all of these big pools, they tend to occasionally also use bigger primary pools to offload their hash rate too, if you know they run the risk of having a bad luck streak and stuff like that, right? So let's say Brains were to adopt this. Doesn't mean that if they let the miner create the block templates, right? Doesn't that automatically also mean that they cannot sell the hash rate to a primary pool and lose that optionality? Do you know what that means? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I got it. I think the answer is that they can keep doing it eventually. Because when you're mining as a miner in a pool, the reward is typically being assigned to the pool or to the address or the Coinbase transaction, which is built by the pool. So you as a miner, you are constructing the template. So you are doing the so-called transaction selection from the mempool of your node. But then where the money goes, that thing is decided by the pool, because like that's what the pool typically does. So that doesn't change with SV2. It always gonna be depend on the pool itself. So yeah,
let's like, say maybe the way maybe the way sorry maybe I didn't understand maybe I don't understand what you're saying. Let me rephrase my question, right? So if I'm the pool and I send you jobs and I want to have the optionality of selling the hash rate that you send me to AntPool, right? But now I let you do the job declaration. Will AntPool still buy that hash rate?
Yeah, I think to properly reason about this, we have like to be aligned on the way these pools, these smaller pools are sometimes selling the hash rate to another bigger one. The way I see it is that they are selling it by redirecting the money which are collected in the block, which is the block reward, to them. That's the way they are selling it.
Okay.
And this part, the block reward Coinbase transaction, is decided by the pool itself. So also in the job declaration mode, which is the configuration where the miner select the transactions from the node, the pool is always be the point, the entity which is gonna decide where the money are gonna be collected, basically the Coinbase transaction. So there's no difference with regards to that. It's like it's not a protocol thing per se. It's yeah. Something decided by the pool. So this for example, like now Ocean doesn't do that, because Ocean like redistributes majority of the block reward to the miners, right? Directly into the Coinbase transaction. Mm. But it's like a business decision they made on top of a protocol.
Yeah, I guess what the pools do give up though is so the pools, if they let you decide what goes into the templates, there's of course there's game theory, right? Miners want to make as much money as possible, so they're always going to choose the highest fee transaction, but there is room for miners to make mistakes there, you know, and then the pool gives up that revenue from the fees, I guess, if they let somebody else decide, and that's a risk on them, right? But that's potentially a weakness of letting the miner, if I'm the pool, it's a downside for me to let the miner decide what transactions go in, because it reduces my total revenue potentially if they make mistakes.
Yeah, that's a good point. This point has been discussed for a while now. I think the answer is something similar to what the demand guys did, which is designing a payout mechanism. In their case, the name is Slice, which pays the miner accordingly to the amount of fees, transaction fees, which they are collecting. So, for example, if we are two miners and we are mining, let's say, with the PAV pool, and we are building our block templates, let's say I'm collecting in my block template one Bitcoin as transaction fees, while you want to create like a bad template and you are collecting like 1,000 sats instead of one Bitcoin. You, since you are working on a template which is like getting less money than me, you are going to proportionally be paid less from the pool than me, because like the amount of value that you are creating for the entire pool itself is less than mine. And yeah, like the Slice payout mechanism, which I mentioned earlier, which is like formalized by the demand pool guys, is basically doing that, allowing for that.
All right, sounds good. Guys, we're running out of time, unfortunately, and we'll have to do a follow-up to this. I want to do a quick round of rapid fire, if you don't mind. I'm going to ask you a question, and then first Pavel answers very briefly, and then Gabo, you go if you have a good answer, okay? All right, number one, Stratum V2 in one word. How do you describe it?
Future.
Optimization.
Biggest myth about Stratum V2, Pavel?
There are way too many. I think one of the biggest ones is that it is controlled by brains. For some reason, I was called brains spy for years and years and I've never even been there, or I know them, but like I never really was very close with brains. It is just like to debate that one. It's like completely public good developed by multiple entities, by a working group these days, and it's really a public group open source specification and infrastructure for any miners to build on innovation and products on top of.
Gabriel, quick answer. Biggest myth about Stratum 2.
Mine was the same, but I recently started to see like the same thing, but not with brains, but with Bitcoin Core. I don't know why. All right.
Bitcoin Core versus NOS. There's another discussion. Hardest thing to explain to miners, Pavel?
In context of Stratum V2 is that very small software tweaks can unlock more profitability. We've done a case study that maybe we can link in the show notes. Maybe Jesse, you can do that. But basically, one of our starting points there is to prove that miners can earn at least, I think it was 7.4% more with Stratum V2, which in a competitive race is quite a lot. And we were pretty conservative there, I must say, in our assumptions. And we tested it on our non-production ready applications at that time. And like we will continue doing these benchmarks. And as Gabo said, this tool is also open source, so any miners can deploy it, run it constantly, and just see how much more efficiency they can squeeze with Stratum V2.
Gabo, what's the hardest thing to explain to miners about V2?
I think the same. So the efficiency gains, that's why we built the tool and we did the study, but also like the security benefits of it. Like how much important is security in the mining scenario?
All right, last one. Pavel, what kills Stratum V2?
I would say that lack of adoption can kill it. Not having a block, maybe next time when we speak, Jesse, if Stratum V2 block hasn't appeared on mainnet, then maybe it means that we are doing something wrong. However, just knowing a little bit behind the scenes and all the adopters that we are talking to, I'm pretty confident that Stratum V2 will be a different story than the one kill. I think next time we speak, it will probably be a race to adopt Stratum V2. And maybe I will not even have time to talk with you because we'll have to talk to all of these miners and try to educate them and explain them how they can implement things. Maybe lack of education can be a critical factor. And I think we as an open source project, understand the value of that. And we are doubling down on education in recent years. And maybe like last year, we did a lot, doing a lot of conferences, a lot of podcasts. So also thank you to you for inviting us, because it is important to keep spreading these spreading education and talking points, which is critical, I think, for adoption.
All right. Is there anything, guys, that I have not asked that you wanted to explain?
Well, we talked a little bit on adoption side. I mentioned it like already in Brains. I forgot to mention that Proto is also announced to publicly, you know, launching compatibility on Stratum V2. Demand has recently opened their pool for miners. We have several more which are even public. I don't want to mention anybody by name, because one more thing I want to say is, like, when we work with early adopters as an open source project, we really try to be privacy minded. We don't spread around like who is testing it, who is using it, because we understand that mining is a very competitive business, and we as an open source community really approach it carefully. So if there are any miners that are considering Stratum V2, implementing it, or need help, feel free to reach out to us. We as a community are always open to help you. Website is stratumprotocol.org. We have Discord where you can come ask questions publicly or reach out to us privately. We do respect the privacy of all the adopters.
All right. Gabo, anything from you that we haven't covered?
I think we covered a lot of stuff. Of course, we have a ton of resources, as we mentioned at the beginning of this podcast. So we are collecting some of them in our website, which is stratumprotocol.org. Then check out also our GitHub repositories. And yeah, I think it was like a very big opportunity for us to share some more knowledge about SV2, and hopefully we demystified some myths as well. So yeah, thanks Jesse again for that.
For sure. No, absolutely, my guys, thank you so much for your time and explaining things to me and my audience. Absolutely appreciate it. This were Pavel and Gabriel from Stratum V2. Feel free to reach out. We're going to leave a list of resources in the show notes for sure for you to check out later. Yeah, I hope you learned something new. I know I did. So I'll see you next time. Thank you. Bye-bye.